afternoon. I'm gonna have to stand still so I can talk right into this mic. I think this one's gone, and that'll be just fine. We've been talking about the various soils, and the question was put to you, what kind of soil are you? What kind of soil are you? And we've noticed the unresponsive soil. We've also noticed the impulsive soil. And then we noticed this morning the preoccupied soil. This evening, we want to talk about the productive soil, the prepared, productive soil. Won't take me too long to tell you about this good soil. You think about all that stuff that we had to talk about before. You have to weed through so much stuff when we talk about that preoccupied soil. But when you talk about this good and honest heart, this prepared, this productive soil, it's a little bit easier to talk about that, because I want to tell you just some reasons why this type of heart is productive. This type of heart has been prepared. And mainly because if you think about the analogy Jesus was giving as that soil was going out to sow, the rocks have been removed and the thorns have been destroyed when it comes to this type of soil. That's why it is so ready to receive the seed. These hearers not only hear, but they hear and understand, but they also allow it to take root in their hearts. And they have spiritual depth. They have stability. They remain unmoved by the challenges and difficulties that they face in life. They resist the lure of wealth because they know the value of true riches. We remember what Moses did. Moses made a choice in Hebrews chapter 11. And he made that choice, and he esteemed that the riches of Christ was of more value than all the treasures of Egypt. And so he made a choice. He did not get caught up in wanting and desiring to be rich. And every time the Bible speaks about these things, it's never spoken of in a good way, that we should desire and pursue these kind of things. And because this individual understands that, they are prepared for the seed to be implanted in their hearts. But notice why they are productive. Three reasons I have down here why they are productive. One is because they are abiding. Look at John chapter 15. John chapter 15, and you know Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches, and the Father is the husbandman. But look at verse number 5 in particular.
I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing.
Without me, ye can do nothing. The reason this person is productive is because they are not going anywhere. They are abiding. They are fixed. They are rooted. They are going to be there. And you understand that apart from Christ, he says you can do nothing. You can't accomplish anything that is spiritually good. There's a whole lot of folks that do a lot of good things, but it won't count for nothing apart from Christ. Amen. Without Christ, ye are without all of the things that Christ brings to the table. Obviously, we are without his spirit. We are without his grace. We are without his knowledge. We are without his strength. We are without his wisdom. You take away Christ and you have nothing. All the fruitfulness of a believer can be ascribed to Jesus Christ. And he uses an imagery to help us to appreciate it. Just like no branch separated from the vine can bring forth fruit or grapes, certainly no one separated from Christ can bring forth anything that is of any real spiritual value. You remember Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no way for any man to endear himself to God or to be brought in a proper relationship with God or to be pleasing to God without coming through Christ. And so truly, there is nothing that a man, woman, boy, or girl can do that would have any real spiritual value apart from Jesus Christ. And I believe Paul got it right when he says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. Now, the Apostle Paul did many wonderful good things, but he understood that everything he did, he had to lay at the feet of Jesus Christ. Jesus was responsible. He recognized that he was doing it under the strength of Jesus Christ. He recognized that what he did was by the grace of Jesus Christ. He recognized that the fact that he was even in Christ was due to Christ's mercy. And so Paul understood all of this, and therefore he can attribute everything that is good to Jesus Christ. Nothing apart from him is of any real spiritual value. Paul understood that, and certainly we understand that as well. When an individual is productive, it is because they are abiding. They are in Christ and they are here for the long haul. There's nothing going to shake them. There's nothing going to remove them. They have stability and they have a root system. Unlike that soil where it was just a little topsoil and then that bedrock was underneath and it could not take any root. And as soon as trouble and challenges and difficulties arose due to the sun in the imagery, those individuals were scorched and they ran away. But this kind of individual is not that way. In fact, look at Luke in Luke chapter 8, verse number 15. Luke chapter 8, and notice what Luke account says.
But that on the good ground are they which in honest and good heart, having heard the word.
Having heard the word, they do what?
Keep it.
They keep it. Now that is the word kareko. They keep it. You remember what Paul says in that great resurrection chapter? He says in reference to the gospel of Jesus Christ, he says, if ye keep in memory. Now that keep in memory is the same Greek word, kareko. If you hold down, if you hold it down, if you hold fast to it. He says, they, having heard the word kareko, they keep it, they maintain it, they hold it down, they hold it fast. In other words, my friends, that same gospel to save them, they're going to hold fast to that gospel throughout their lives. They're going to keep it. They're going to treasure it. They're not going to let it go. They're going to be faithful to it. They hold it down. They hold fast to it. And my friends, that's why they are productive. Keep reading.
They, an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience.
They bring forth fruit with patience. Now, that's hupomane. Patience. In other words, with constancy, with endurance, with patient continuance, they persevere in Christ. That's literally the idea. These folks are productive because not only are they here to stay, they are here to persevere. They persevere in Christ. In other words, my friends, that there is nothing that's going to stop them. They get stronger as they begin to be more and more tried and tested. Because of Christ, when they are tested, they get stronger. Now, do you notice the difference between one of those particular hearts and this particular heart? When those things got tough and when things got going and things got difficult and when challenges came up and people began to be offended, when the sun was up in one of those soils, it became offended, it withered and died, it ran away. At the first sign of trouble, some folks are going to get going. But these individuals, when they are tried and they're tested, they just get more rooted in their stance. They get more stable. They root down and they stand in and they're not going anywhere. They get stronger. Truly, that old adage that says when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And that's true of this type of Christian. Are you that type of Christian? See, that's a good and honest soil. I remember sharing with the church in Illinois that I didn't care what those men did to me. Didn't matter. And I told them I was prepared if those men should take me up like a battering ram and throw me through that glass window that was over to my left, because it was surely a glass window over to my left, right outside that pulpit, just like that door. There was a glass door there. And I told them, brethren, I didn't care if y'all picked me up and threw me through like a battering ram right through that glass. I said, the only thing I'm going to do when I get up, it's gonna brush the glass off. And then I'm also gonna realize that you probably don't want me to be a preacher anymore. So I'm gonna have to leave, but I'm not going to quit on Christ. And I'm not gonna stop preaching the gospel. And that's the kind of conviction that we must have. Doesn't matter what men may do to us. It doesn't matter how many may offend us. It doesn't matter what challenges and all those things that may come up in the congregation. It doesn't matter how many people are going to do the wrong thing. The point is, we cannot quit on Christ. The good and honest soil is a soil that's going to abide in Christ, going to persevere in Christ, and no matter what happens, it's not going anywhere. That's why they can bring forth fruit. But not only that, because they're faithful. Romans chapter 7 and verse number 4. Paul gives the analogy of a Christian being married to Christ. Come on, read.
Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ.
Uh-huh.
That ye should be married to another.
That ye should be married to another, not to the law, But now you are married to Christ. Come on, read.
Even to him who is raised from the dead.
Yes, sir.
That we might bring forth fruit unto God
in faithfulness. That's the point. These individuals are going to be productive because they are faithful. They are trustworthy. They are not going anywhere, but they also can be relied upon. So you have to ask yourself within the church, is the reason you can't bring forth fruit is because we can't rely on you? You ask yourself, can this congregation, we've got a couple of elders here that oversee this congregation, and so we'll look at it in terms of our leadership. Can they rely on us? Can they trust us? When something has to be done, can they call on you? Do they know that they can call on you? Will you be there? Will you answer the call, or will you complain? What will you do? Because if they can call on you, they are under shepherds to the great shepherd. And if they are shepherding over us as those who lead this flock, when they call on us, we need to be able to be relied upon, because there is a greater shepherd even above them of whom we must give an account. Amen. We need to be able to be relied upon. You see, they're trustworthy. We're trustworthy. That's what makes us fruitful. Sometimes some of the greatest things we're ever going to do is probably going to come at the hands of someone else who gave it to us, someone else who challenged us. Some of the best sermons probably I've ever put together was not the sermons I thought of myself. It was some preacher who called me, or some elder, or some brother said, hey, we want you to deal with this. I'm like, oh, Lord, what is that? What am I supposed to do with that? Well, now they're challenging me, because I never would have thought of a title like that. I never would have thought of a sermon like that. And now I've got to figure out, I've got to dig, and you know what happens? I end up growing. I end up learning. And then when you preach the sermon, people say, wow, that was a really good sermon. I'm glad you hit. Well, I never would have unless someone had given it to me. Sometimes we grow because others are challenging us and moving us out of our comfort zone. But because we realize that it's all for Christ, we're willing and ready to accept the challenge. We grow because we are faithful. We are faithful to the cause. We are faithful to Christ. We are faithful to his church. And that's what makes us productive. But not only that, we're active. James chapter 1, verse 20 through 22.
For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity.
Drop down to verse number 20.
For the wrath of man.
Okay, I'm sorry. Maybe it's 22. But be ye doers of the word.
Oh, okay. But be ye doers of the word. Uh-huh. And not hearers only, deceiving your own selves.
Any man.
Amen.
If any man be a hearer.
Uh-huh.
Come on.
For whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds.
Listen, you know why that man is blessed in his deeds? Because he blesses God in his deeds. See, we bless God in our deeds. God blesses us in our deeds. We certainly will be blessed because of all of the benefits that come from being active in the Lord's service and in his will. Three things I showed you. This is why this soil is productive. This is why it's prepared. It then moved out all of the rocks and all of those things, and now it's prepared and it's going to be productive because, my friends, it is abiding. No matter what happens, it's not going anywhere. Bring on the challenges. Bring on the difficulties. We know that life is full of them. It's riddled with them. And we didn't expect for these things to go away because we came to Christ. And so we're ready. We're prepared. We done set our minds to it. And you know, sometimes when something is difficult, the way you get through it is you prepare your heart for it. You prepare your mind for it. I have to do this all the time. Brother Maxwell calls me a road warrior. He thinks about, sometimes I tell him the trips I had to do. Yeah, I had to go down here, and then I went over there. When I came back, and then I came back this way. You know, y'all remember when I came and did that first gospel meeting in 2009, I believe it was? Well, 2009, I'm in Illinois now. That's about 15, 16 hours away from you. But I drove down to Georgia first, which was about 11, 12 hours to get down there, and then another 9 hours to get over here. I went down there and picked up my mama. She wanted to come. Maybe I'll come get you. So I went down there and picked up my mama, and then we stayed over there a day and came on up here and to Newport News. And she got over here and went in that underwater tunnel and almost lost her mind. I had to tell her to pull over and let me take it. I just threw that out for free. But then we stayed over here with you all for a week, and then we traveled back. I took my mama back down to Georgia, and then headed on back. By the time I told Maxwell, he said, "Brother Disney, you're a road warrior." And all of that driving, that challenging. But you know, when I get ready to do that driving, you know what I have to do? I know it's going to be a long and tough trip. But you know what I have to do? I got to set my mind to it. I've got to get my mind prepared for it. And so I think about it a certain way, and I prepare my mind for it. I don't think about how bad the trip's going to be or how long the trip's going to be. I start thinking about all the positive things I can do on the trip. Oh, man, I'm going to get a chance, especially if Wanda's with me, because now we get a chance to talk. Sometimes we don't get a chance to do that as much as we'd like. And now we're in a car sitting here right close in proximity to each other. We get a chance to talk for 4 or 5 hours if we want to talk about any and everything. And so it's good when your wife is with you. My wife is not with me. Well, we get to talk on the phone. So we do more talking on the phone than we do sometimes in person because we both in and out doing our thing. But here's the thing. I also get the chance to just be in my own thoughts. I get to think about things. Sometimes I get the chance to listen to other preachers. So I got my little jump drive from PTP, and I listen to so many sermons, and I'm learning. I'm hearing things. I wouldn't think of it that way, and I'm hearing things, and it's just blowing my mind up. So I get a chance to think about some things. I wish I could write some of that down because then I forget, but nevertheless, I get inspired. All those kind of things. So guess what? The trip that seems to be long and hard, difficult, actually, before I know it, oh, and one other thing I do, I make up all the phone calls that I don't get to do, and people be trying to get me for weeks sometimes. I mean, they be calling from everywhere around this country, and they be calling me. I look at the number like, I'm going to have to call you back. I'll get back with you, because I can't take all those calls. Well, when I get out there on the road, guess what? Sometimes I can drive 10 hours, and I didn't get a chance to listen to any music. I didn't get a chance to listen to anything. 10 hours of talking to people that's been trying to get me, and I have to go through and call all these people and let them talk and whatever the situation is. Guess what? Trip don't seem that long. Don't seem that long. What about Christ? What about in Christ? You got to set your mind. You got to set your mind for the challenges. They're coming. We ready? We got everything we need. We got all the resources we need. It's going to be okay because God has us. He is faithful to us, and he wants us to be faithful to him. And we have to be active. We have to be doers of the words. Therefore, my friends, when we are doers of the word, our religion is pure. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. This is the fatherless and widows in their affliction to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Because these people faithfully engage in spiritual disciplines, they establish strong Christian roots, which will help them to grow properly and bear much fruit for the Lord. This is a productive soil. Every person ought to ask himself, what kind of soil am I? What do I need to change so that I can be more productive in the kingdom of our Lord? So we looked at all kinds of soils. Now the question you have to ask yourself is, which one are you? My hope and my prayer is that if we are not all this good and honest soil, that we will be doing everything we can to become this good and honest soil, this good and honest heart. So that when you plant the word of God in, and you know what? Those of us who take advantage of all of those opportunities, guess what? We're sowing the word of God. We're having the word of God sown into ourselves, and we're sowing the word of God into ourselves daily. Just think about it. If you're here on Wednesday night, the word of God is being sown into you. If you're here on Sunday morning Bible class, the word of God is being sown into you. If you're here on Sunday morning preaching, the word of God is being sown into you. If you're here Sunday afternoon preaching, the word of God is being sown into you. If you're here when we have our gospel meetings or our seminar, the word of God is being sown into you. If you are having your own personal Bible studies and things of that nature, the word of God is being sown into you. You know what? That word of God keep being sown into you. If you've got a good and honest heart, it's going to take and it's going to produce something for you. It's going to make you, it's going to inspire you. It's going to make you want to do something. Have you all been reading the challenges? Weren't you excited when you read Daniel? Well, listen, that's all right. If you weren't excited, get excited. Because Hosea is now. It's time for Hosea, right? And look, I couldn't wait to get to Daniel. I was like, ooh, tomorrow. tomorrow I get to read that. I was so excited as if I couldn't read it that day before. You know, but I just couldn't wait till the next day I get to read Daniel. You know why? Because I hadn't read Daniel in a little while. I hadn't read Daniel in a little while. And I just wanted to do some things with Daniel. So I was all excited about Daniel. And you know, then we read Daniel. And then I picked up on a lot of little things, so I wrote a lot of stuff on it. But now Hosea. And I'm just simply saying, you keep letting that word of God be sown into you, and then eventually what it does, it just inspires you. It makes you better. It makes you want to do more. You see those people and you're like, wow. You see Hosea and Gomer? And you're like, wow, Hosea, what he did that God asked him to do. It's like, oh, wow, could you have done that? But Hosea did. Wow. If you're here, my friends, the word of God, quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints of the marrow, discerning of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That word of God gets sown into you, my friends, and you got a good and honest heart, it's going to produce fruit.
Amen.
So, Let it produce fruit in you. If you're here and you need to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we can tell you about Jesus who loved you enough to die for you, and you just need to love him enough to obey him. By believing in him and his deity, responding to him by repentance, confession, and then, my friends, being willing to be added to his church, to his body, through baptism. And he'll save you, and then he'll keep you. And all you have to do is keep yourself in his love as you continue to abide by the things that he has revealed. In the end, it'll prove to be a wonderful thing for you that you was a good and honest heart and good soil, that you produce fruit to God, like Brother Craig was talking about earlier. And then when you get to heaven, those works that you have done here will follow you. They'll speak for you. And certainly, we'll all be glad when that is the case in our lives. So if you need to respond to the invitation, we invite you to do so as we stand and sing the invitation song.
Number 384.